Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8, Prayers by Queen Kunti, Text 25. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Merci beaucoup. Vipada santuta shashvat, tatra tatra jagad guru, bhavato darshanam yatsyad, apunar bhava darshanam. I wish that all those calamities would happen again and again, so that we could see you again and again. For seeing you means we will no longer see repeated births and deaths. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Generally, the distressed, the needy, the intelligent, and the inquisitive who have performed some pious activities worship or begin to worship the Lord. Others who are thriving on misdeeds only, regardless of status, cannot approach the Supreme due to being misled by the illusory energy. Therefore, for a pious person, if there is some calamity, there is no other alternative than to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Constantly remembering the lotus feet of the Lord means preparing for liberation from birth and death. Therefore, even though there are so-called calamities, they are welcome because they give us an opportunity to remember the Lord, which means liberation. One who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, which are accepted as the most suitable boat for crossing the ocean of nescience, can achieve liberation as easily as one leaps over the holes made by the hoofs of a calf. Such persons are meant to reside in the abode of the Lord, and they have nothing to do with a place where there is danger at every step. This material world is certified by the Lord in Bhagavad Gita as a dangerous place full of calamities. Less intelligent persons prepare plans to adjust to those calamities without knowing that the nature of this place is itself full of calamities. They have no information of the abode of the Lord, which is full of bliss and without trace of calamity. The duty of the sane person, therefore, is to be undisturbed by worldly calamities, which are sure to happen in all circumstances. Suffering all sorts of unavoidable misfortunes, one should make progress in spiritual realization, because that is the mission of human life. The spirit soul is transcendental to all material calamities. Therefore, the so-called calamities are called false. A man may see a tiger swallowing him in a dream, and he may cry for this calamity. Actually, there is no tiger, and there is no suffering. It is simply a case of dreams. In the same way, all calamities of life are said to be dreams. If someone is lucky enough to get in contact with the Lord by devotional service, it is all gain. Contact with the Lord by any one of the 9 devotional services is always a forward step on the path going back to Godhead. What is this noise? Well, unless it's just essential, I would really rather not have it. Vipada santuta shashvat, tatra tatra jagad guru, bhavato darshanam yat syad, apunar bhava darshanam. I wish that all those calamities would happen again and again, so that we could see you again and again. For seeing you means that we'll no longer see repeated births and deaths. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Jinamane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prajarne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschityadesh Tarne Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasati Gauravati Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we've been reading from the teachings of Queen Kunti the last few days. And now we come to this verse, which is very famous verse and very extraordinary verse in Srimad Bhagavatam. Who would pray, who would desire to have calamities when they are free from calamities? Who would desire that? No sane person, really. Only some crazy person, actually, would welcome calamities when they have none. When things are, you could say, going their way. And that is actually the case with Queen Kunti. She had so many calamities. Yesterday in the verse, we read some of those calamities that there was a poisoned cake fed to Bhima. Kunti, of course, is the mother of Bhima, so it's a calamity for her also. They lost the kingdom. Then they were put in that house of lack. And then they had to live in the forest. They were attacked by different demons, including Hidimba, Rakshasa. And then there was the battle of Kurukshetra. So they had no shortage of calamities. In fact, it was an extremely desperate situation for many years. Then there was the battle, which was another calamity, but they won the battle. They won the battle. And all their enemies were killed. Every single one of them, without exception, well, perhaps other than Ashwatthama, was killed. And now the kingdom was theirs, at their disposal, just like that. So you would think that, and certainly for the average person in this material world, this would be a time for celebration. All our calamities are finished. Thank you, Krishna. Let us now enjoy life, or at least live in this very favorable situation, and there'll be happiness and so on and so forth. But this is now Queen Kunti. Immediately after that, just some days after, and she's saying, no, I want those calamities again and again. Not just again, but again and again. Send us calamities. That will be good. Please do that. And it sounds like some sort of, well, in English there's this word masochist or self-sadist. Sometimes people, their minds just get too much devastated by the material energy, and then they decide they want pain. in the Christian tradition, I don't know if you're how familiar you are with it, but there's a practice, there was or even is still to some very small degree, a practice that a person, usually it would be someone like a monk, in other words, someone who's meant to be very, very serious about their religion, understanding that they have lived sinfully, which is true, and understanding that this body is the source of that misery, and if I'm not careful, the body, through being attracted to so many material things, the body will implicate me further. So they take up programs they call self-flagellation, where they whip themselves, even sometimes they stab themselves and cut themselves, their bodies, because they feel this body, it's very bad. We must punish this body, and we must make it clear to ourselves that we should not entertain this body. In Krishna consciousness, we don't do that. But some do that. In Christianity, at least, this practice is definitely there. And some of them have become saints because they did things like this. So, what is the situation here with Queen Kunti? It is not like that. But still, she has her understanding. There's some sort of connection, at least, to some degree. She understands that life here in this material world, from the spiritual point of view, is very dangerous. And there's a danger of fall down. And now, and what is that fall down? That fall down means that we get facility for material enjoyment, and then we become attracted to that, and we get into that, and before you know, we are deviated from our Krishna consciousness by this the allurements of material life. So Queen Kunti understands. First thing she understands is that the only real happiness is when we have the shelter of Krishna. Then we become really happy. So what I need is the shelter of Krishna. How to get that? Well, Queen Kunti thinks, if it's up to me to accept or reject the shelter of Krishna, I might not accept it. I might rather choose that, yes, well, now we're in the royal position, in the royal palace, and we have so much money, let us now increase our enjoyment. So, having that perspective on herself and on life, and having had the experience of being in exile and going through all these calamities, she understands, she remembers, when there were all these calamities, and every day, if it wasn't one thing, it was another thing, and then a combination of things, and endless problems. When we're in that situation, though, it forced us to take shelter of Krishna. We had no choice. We would simply have to call out, Krishna, help! And Krishna would help. Krishna would come. And then when Krishna would come, oh, we'd be so happy. We'd be so, so happy. So Queen Kunti is thinking, yes, this is what we need. We need calamities, because they force us to take shelter of Krishna. And when we take shelter of Krishna, we become happy. So if we want happiness, we need calamity. Very interesting perspective. Jiva Goswami discusses in Priti Sandarbha this specific verse. And Jiva Goswami says, this verse, this statement by Queen Kunti, indicates she is on a level of Krishna Prema. It is called Anurag. Now, of course, we know there are levels coming up to Prema. Shraddha. Next is Shraddha, then Sadhu Sangha, then it's okay, let someone else. After Sadhu Sangha, next is Bhajana Kriya. He already said it. Following Bhajana Kriya, what's next, ladies? Saintly ladies, Shastris. What's next? Anathanivritti. And what is next? Nishta. And what is next? Ruchi. And what is next? Sorry? Asakti. Following Asakti, there is? Huh? Bhava. And following Bhava is Prema. And then, you know, we may think, well, that's it. Prema, there you go. Now you're there. But there are levels beyond Prema. Actually, not exactly levels beyond Prema, but there are different levels of Prema. Sneha, Pranaya, Man, Rag, Anurag, then another bhava, a different type of bhava, and then Mahabhava. And there's nothing beyond Mahabhava. So Jiva Goswami says, this verse spoken by Queen Kunti right here, this is indicating or showing that she is on this level called Anurag. Rag means attachment. Anurag means, well, just very deep attachment, really. Or attachment following certain phenomena. So, yes. And Jiva Goswami explains, the symptom of this is that the devotee treasures Krishna so much and treasures Krishna consciousness so much and treasures devotional service so much and is experiencing so much from these things that whatever the price may be, to get that, to get Krishna, to get service to Krishna, and to get the ecstasy that they're experiencing in service to Krishna and by service to Krishna, the experience is just so amazing and super mundane that any price that you pay to get it is small. Any price you pay. What to speak of being worth the price, but the price seems nothing compared to what you get from that. Well, just like in very material terms. If someone offers you a nice house like this, and they say, okay, 10,000 rupees, it's yours. So 10,000 rupees is 10,000 rupees. It's a price. It means something. If someone offered you one shushu and said, 10,000 rupees, it's yours, then you'd say, what? That's ridiculous. The price is too high. So it is a price. It's not actually nothing. If someone said, give nothing, take this house, well, that's another thing. But 10,000 rupees, it is a price. But compared to what you get for this house, if you actually get it, 10,000 rupees. Who would not do that? I mean, many people at least would immediately jump at the opportunity. I'll take it there, take 10,000 rupees. Am I right? I think so. So the principle is like that. What you gain by having Krishna's association, the benefits you get from devotional service, and what to speak of the unparalleled ecstasy, happiness that you get from Krishna consciousness, from having the association of Krishna, from getting the mercy of Krishna. It is just so outstanding that any price that you might pay for that seems like nothing. Yeah, take it. Sometimes people, you read stories occasionally, people are selling something and they quote the wrong price, like the very wrong price. And someone comes along and says, okay, I'll take it. And then the people who are selling realize, oh, wait a minute, that's the wrong price. It's far too little. And they say, no, 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 you can't have it. And then the person insists, no, you take my money. Take my money. I'm buying it. So, the sufferings of material life, the sufferings of material life, to the conditioned souls, they're very substantial. Birth, death, old age, and disease. Oh, maybe getting some great physical pain, someone attacks you, maybe losing all your money, or your house burns down and it is not insured, or you smash your motor car, or whatever it may be. These things cause people pain. But from the spiritual point of view, that pain is not very great. From the spiritual point of view. For example, in Bhagavad Gita 2.13, Bhagavad Gita 2.13, ladies, kya hai? Do tiara. What is it? Deino svinyatade he komaram yovanam jara tatade hantara praptir dearest tatra namuyati. As the embodied soul in this body goes through childhood, youth, and old age, the soul similarly goes into another body of death. But the sober person is not bewildered by that change at the time of death. Now, of course, for most people, as we mentioned, the fundamental basic sufferings of material life are birth, death, old age, and disease. They're the basic sufferings. And death. You ask anybody in the street, are you afraid of death? And they'll say yes. And if they say no, just pull out a gun and say, are you sure? if I gave you 50 rupees, would it be okay if I shot you? And pretty soon you'd find they are not very happy about deer, particularly their own. But Lord Krishna is saying in that verse that the sober person or the Krishna conscious person is not bewildered by death. Even though generally death is seen to be very painful and just horrible and extremely undesirable, but the devotee, at least the little advanced devotee, is not bewildered by that. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains at the end of Madhurya Kadambini, towards the end, the devotee on the level of Krishna Prema is so much transcendental and beyond the experiences of the body, the attractions and whatever the pains and pleasures of the body. The devotee on the level of Krishna Prema, absorbed in devotional service, absolutely. The body may die, well, the body will die sooner or later. The devotee on the level of Krishna Prema may not even notice. May not even notice. But after some time they realize, oh, I have a spiritual body now. Look at that. Where did my material body go? It must have died. This is very advanced. But the thing is, so the point is now with Queen Kunti, because she's on that level of Krishna Prema, first of all, and then she's on a very high stage of Krishna Prema, one of the highest. After Rag, Anurag, there's only the higher Bhava and then Mahabhava. That's all. So extremely high level. So for her, the calamities of material existence, they're not very serious. Just like a child, we have here our dear little Krishna Kripa Das. You know him, this little boy. Krishna Kripa, the other day, his father was carrying him around. His father had to just put him down right here and go and do something. Just in this room here. Krishna Kripa immediately started crying. And crying. And his father had to come and pick him up. We're all adults. I think some of us, our fathers, are no longer living. But we're not crying. And we may be at least living in one town, our parents may be living in another town. But we're all right. Because we have gone beyond that, the experience of a child in so many ways and the emotional needs of children. We have matured beyond those, at least in many ways. So similarly, as the devotee progresses in Krishna consciousness spiritually, they mature so that things which, for ordinary material people, adults, may be very shocking, but for the devotee, after advancing to some degree, they're no longer shocking. And therefore Krishna speaks that verse, which we just mentioned, 2:13. The sober devotee is not bewildered by the change of body at death, whereas generally people are very bewildered. Many years ago, we were distributing Srila Prabhupada's books in Northern Ireland. Maybe you've heard of that. There was a civil war going on, and it was really quite a situation. And we were out there on the streets. And every week, two or three times, bombs would go off near us. One time, one devotee got knocked over by the blast of a bomb. And many times we saw them and heard them. And sometimes we'd be there and a bomb would go off on the next block. And on the street, there's the people, they're shopping, and in the center of the town, suddenly everything stops. And it becomes sort of like a photograph. Everything is suspended at that point. And sometimes people would just faint because it's too much, the prospect of death. And one time one person urinated on the street, just involuntarily. Anyway, Hare Krishna. But for the devotees, even them, it was just a nuisance because, oh no, the people are going to leave the streets. We're not going to be able to distribute books. What a nuisance. So, Queen Kunti, she's really on a high level. She's really, really, really on an extremely high level. And she feels, I need Krishna. Without Krishna, life is not worth living. So how to get Krishna in the easiest way and most powerful way, how to get Krishna's association? I know I need to be put in a calamity. Then I'll cry out for Krishna. He'll come. If I'm just sitting back, relaxing, and thinking, yes, Krishna, you can come if you like. He may not come. But just like the child crying, the child cries, the parent comes. If the child is not crying, oftentimes the parent is not coming. But when the child cries, the parent comes. And the child gets to understand this, and it becomes a strategy for the child. When I want something, I don't just say, can I please have it? I cry. Because then they come and then they tend to give me what I want. So this is Queen Kunti's strategy. How to get Krishna. How to get the mercy of Krishna. We need calamities, then we call out for Krishna. Krishna comes, and we are so happy. But as for the actual calamities, doesn't really bother her that much. Maharaj Yudhisthira, when they were in exile, Maharaj Yudhisthira, he would often say to his brothers and the others that, you know, it's very nice here in the forest. Let's just stay here. Let's forget about the battle and the kingdom. Let's just stay in the forest. It's so nice. So you see. So we, of course, we are not on that level. Sometimes devotees raise the question, should we follow in the footsteps of Queen Kunti? At least in this regard. Should we pray for difficulty? Life is not difficult enough. Krishna, make it more difficult, please. Take away some of my money. Burn down my house. Do something, Krishna. Make my wife leave me. Come on, Krishna, do something. I want to feel calamity and then get your mercy. Should we do that? Not really. Generally, we have enough calamities anyway. And, you know, we should learn to deal with those in Krishna consciousness. And if we got more, we might become bewildered. So at least in our situation, let's take shelter of Krishna and really pray to Krishna for his mercy and really endeavor, really make an effort to please Krishna. And in this way, when we're faced with calamity, really take shelter of him. But otherwise try to cultivate the understanding we're always dependent on Krishna. And we can never really depend on ourselves, our qualifications, our expertise, our intelligence, our physical strength, and things like this. Hare Krishna. Any comment or question? Words of wisdom? Ale. Anything to add or subtract?
Srila Prabhupada said in the Bhagavad Gita,
Antakale Chabaneva.
Srila Prabhupada said that one who is chanting Hare Krishna, there will be many impediments. And Prabhupada said in Maldives that one is tolerated and continue to chant Hare Krishna in the meetings. And at the time of death, lost reliance in Prabhupada said that we'll get the full benefits of our Krishna consciousness in the time of death.
And even in the meantime, we'll get many benefits. But the final benefit will come then, because that's the crucial time. Which direction will we go in? Back to Godhead or... That's a comment, right? Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna.